We continue our look at the jury recommendations in the inquest into ending intimate partner violence in Ontario with number 71 today. This again is aimed at the Chief Firearms Officer, or CFO, as we will refer to him. And I say we, that's because Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House, is here once again with us to guide us through this. Aaron, thank you for being here.
Happy to be here as always.
Number 72 says it. The CFO must require PAL applicants and holders to report in a timely manner any change in information provided in application and renewal forms submitted to the CFO, including when an individual with weapons restrictions comes to reside in their home. That's a pretty big one. If someone has weapons restrictions and they're going to be moving into a home with somebody who does not have weapons restrictions and wants to have weapons in their home, that could be a potential problem.
It is a very complex situation because it starts to then become responsibility for others, right? It starts to become, if you're coming to live with me, then you impact me in this way. It requires me then to actually take action when I'm a very responsible person and I have no intention of misusing my PAL or the weapons in my possession. It really means that those who are responsible have an opportunity to hold themselves accountable, speak to their accountability levels and their commitments, and also understand the restrictions and hold others accountable in the process. It's not an easy process, right? When offenders or when abusers are misusing and navigating their cycle that's rooted in power and control, they don't often stop to pause to consider how this might impact others, where they're residing, where they may not share that they have a weapons restriction in their conditions when they're moving in or changing residence. It's very important for us to really empower community around how these situations can play out and how being a bystander, you know, can create obvious risk issues and safety issues. So how do we empower folks to make sure that it's understood? How do we make sure that questions are asked and answers are given so that we know where there are restrictions, so that we can ensure that our weapon is not going to be misused to maim or to kill someone else?
Yeah, and it's really interesting because you're not necessarily starting from scratch, but you're certainly adding a level of responsibility on this person who's trying to acquire these firearms. You know, I know guns have to be locked up in a safe or a coded safe or whatever. Again, I'm not into firearms myself, but if I got any of that wrong, I apologize, but I do know that there are safeguards in place. But if someone can get a hold of that code or that key, you have to have a way to ensure that that does not happen.
I think it's really about going back to basics and really ensuring that the public understands how the cycle of violence works, how we get caught up in that cycle of violence, what are some of the elements that we don't often recognize in our own relationships. You know, so someone's going to come and live with you. What are those elements and those nuances that you're not thinking about? How do we empower our community to connect those dots? And how do we empower our community to understand that the cycle of violence is a very complex cycle, and it doesn't just rest between the perpetrator and their identified focus victim? There are many elements all around that cycle that impact others. And it is important that we're having those discussions and empowering folks, not just about when it comes to weapons, but weapons obviously are very significant, but when it comes to many things, as it relates to having children in our home, as it relates to having visitors in our home, as it relates to, you know, the neighborhood and any safety and risk that may come when you have other weapons in your house or other tools in your house. It is something to consider, and it's quite a responsibility. And I I really want the community to understand, like, if I take responsibility for someone or have somebody living in my home, this is how it affects my acquisition license. This is how it affects me as a surety. This is how it affects me, as a neighbor, as a parent. It is really, really important. I don't think that intentions always start out as a negative and at a negative place, but I think the reality is that escalation and the evolution of the cycle continues, regardless of the victim is currently appears to be safe somewhere. That system and that cycle is still escalating and percolating, and we need to be mindful of how we mitigate that. And that's why risk factors and flags and being doing our due diligence is really important.
Absolutely. And there's the other factor too, that often these people, these offenders, have hidden it from their friends and so on. Like, obviously, like before trial and so on and so forth. Like, if they, all of a sudden, I'm like, Aaron, I need a place to stay. Betty and I have broken up and just wondering if you can give me a hand, that sort of thing, without knowing the whole story behind it. And that's one of the unknowns that you talk about.
It is absolutely. I mean, our friendships ex are extended and often don't have conditions that relate to the things that happen in your intimate partner relationships. Unfortunately, it is a conversation that we need to have and we need to understand. We can't be oblivious. We can't be oblivious, especially when we're in a situation where we're looking at acquisition of weapons or where we're avid hunters or where the presence of your friend who needs a place to stay because they're in a rough spot where that can compromise you. And that's something that we don't often give thought to because we immediately want to say yes, because if it was happening to us, we'd want that to be reciprocated. But it is important that we take a step back. It's not just about how many bathrooms and how many bedrooms do we have. It's also about how might that compromise my living situation? What does that do for me in the system? Do I have to be named now in a variance? And a variance condition that says that he's now residing at my address, and is my name that now connected to that? Those are questions that we need to be asking, and it feels kind of awkward at times when someone's feeling desperate to do that. But I think it's okay to say, "Hey, like, you know what, Bob? I'm really sorry to hear that's going on. Maybe we could meet and have a conversation about that. I just need a bit of information to understand before I can extend my support beyond, this conversation." Conversation and being around for you. And that's okay because you're also planning for your own safety.
Indeed. Well, Aaron, again, thank you for this. And we will continue the conversation with number 73 next week. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House, here on 88.1 MyFM, lanarkleadstoday.ca.